message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. We can have our wonderful seats. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm always thank God for the privilege He has given unto me to be standing here before great men and women. Because the privilege to stand here is not easy at all. But it's a privilege. Because you know, earlier today I was talking with one of the workers in the church, and there was something I was supposed to do. And the minute I saw, I just told him that, Papa sent me something yesterday, so throughout the night I've been. So he said, don't worry, I understand. Because everything he does that to say, don't worry, I understand. In fact, he said, if he has not eaten and Papa does send it, he won't eat again. He could just. Hallelujah. So I count as a privilege to be here. It's just by God's grace that I'm here, standing here today. Hallelujah. I also want to appreciate Papa in the house. Hallelujah. Come on, jam my hands together for Papa. And I'm not doing very well, though. We have to do it very well. We are coming for His grace. And I hope to tell me to that. Also, Mama, she's not here. She's here in absentia. Also, just appreciate her. Help them to the anointing tonight. Also, for the resident pastor, who they call Mr. Humility. No other than Mr. Pastor Omoshiri. And also, Pastor Jala, Pastor Beniza. Hallelujah. Every minister and pastors in the house, I appreciate you all. And everyone present here, I appreciate you all tonight. Also, Pastor Ademola, I appreciate you, sir. Hallelujah. I hope to tap into this combined anointing tonight. All right, today's topic is accessing keys to open doors. Accessing keys to open doors. Now, I started this yesterday, and Pastor Ajelau gave us a definition of open doors. And he said, he gave us many, but I just took one. He says, open doors means to access breakthrough, testimony, and help. Open doors means to access breakthroughs, testimonies, and help. Then it also means a recognized right of admittance or freedom of access. It also means a recognized right of admittance or freedom of access. Then when a door is open, you can easily go in and you can easily come out. So it represents a freedom of access. Now it is God's intention for you and for I to walk in open doors, in the open door realm. God has designed us to walk in a realm called open door realm. That's the realm God has designed for you and I. We can open our Bibles to Revelation 3 verse 8. Now, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So you can see, I know thy works, and behold, I have set thee before thee an open door, and nobody can shut it. So you can see, that's what God wants for us. He wants us to operate in an open door realm, whereby the door is always open for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I wrote here some facts, or some more facts about open doors. Because Pastor Jada gave us some facts yesterday, so I have some more facts about open door. Number one, you need a door to get into a place. You need a door to get into a place. But also, you need a door to come out of a place. You need a door to get into a place, and you need a door to come out of a place. So it means when there is no open door, there will be stagnation. It means you remain in a place because there is no open door to leave that place and step out. So doors, when we say doors, what comes to mind? Our door is to open and enter. Open and enter. But sometimes it's open and come out. So it's not every time you open and enter, sometimes you open and come out. So it means without open doors, there will be what? There will be stagnation. So it means open doors bring about what? Promotion and advancement. Because you'll be able to live where you are and move ahead. It also brings about restoration. Open doors can bring about restoration. We can read our Bibles to Job chapter 2, verse 25 to 27. Job 2, verse 25 to 27. Job chapter 2, verse 25 to 27. And it says, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was said that was come upon unto me, verse 26, I was not in safety, neither had I rest. Sorry, this is chapter 3. That's wrong, but let's continue. So it helps us get into a place, and it helps us what come out of a place. So that's the first fact about open door. You need a door to get into a place, and you need a door to come out of a place. Now, number two fact about open door is doors that God open never contradict his word. Doors that God opens up to us never contradict his word. God never contradicts his word. The doors that God opens to us never contradict his word. Open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches. So God is not the author of confusion. God will never confuse you. So if God is going to open a door unto you, it will be a door that would not contradict his word. It would be a door that won't contradict his word. Look at someone like Joseph, for instance. You know, Joseph already had a vision that he would be a great person in life. So there was already a door. There was a door. This door is already there. Just for him to enter into that greatness. Then he went to prison, blah, 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 and he got to Potiphar's house. Now, you already knew that he ought to be great. You knew that already. When he got to Potiphar's house, he was still a servant. He was a chief servant. And behold, the wife came and said, I know. Since he had been there, you know, the wife can't just come once. She must have been eyeing him. Maybe say, Jojo, come now. Let me clean this room. Until you come. Okay. She will clean the room and so on. And then she offered him something. She said, Joseph, come and be my personal servant. Something like that, you know, so that they are paying you 25,000, but don't worry. When you are my partner, I will pay you 100,000 plus the salary. She gave him different options. So you do this, do that for me, and that. But you know something? Joseph would as well say, so this is even the vision God showed me. So this light will come. I will not be this woman. She will pay me good money. I think this is okay. Then we accept it. And if you accepted that, it would have ruined his destiny. And you know, this particular point leads us to the next point. Open doors will not contradict God. But number three says, open doors will not require personal compromise. Open doors will not require personal compromise or disobedience. Will not require personal compromise or disobedience. Colossians 2 verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8. Colossians 2 verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits. Let any man spoil you. There are some parts, some Bible that say rob you. Let any man rob you. Now, this woman would have robbed Joseph of his inheritance. Because she would have made the fake door look like the real door. She would have come and said, Joseph, you are chief servant now. By the time you are married to me, you are servicing me when your guy is not around. I'm telling you, you will enjoy. I'll pay you lots of money. You have a private car. I know, just when I thought, maybe this is the door that God say will open for me. After all, even if I'm driving car, I'm already better than my brothers with this car. So I think this must be the door that God is opening for me, so he will have accepted it. But there was something he could not do. He found that door came with a price, personal compromise. So it means if he had accepted that door, he would have compromised. So he knew within his heart that this couldn't be God. Because he knew that door required a personal word, compromise. And let me tell you, if he had done that, he would have ruined destiny. Because after like 1 year or 2 years, another more handsome houseboy will come into the house. And the woman will see him again and say, this one is even finer than Joseph. Oh, Joseph, you are now old. She will get this new one. Before you know it, he will not be relegated to the normal thing he was doing. And forever he will be a houseboy. And the woman can even say, let's even sack him. So he says that because he didn't compromise. That was why he was able to get to where he was going to. So open doors will not require personal compromise or disobedience. Then number four, every door has its own key. Every door has its own key. A key for one door may or may not open another door. Because some keys can open two doors, yes. But it may not open another door. Therefore, we say that you don't, for instance, let's say you go to ShopRite now. You enter into ShopRite, then you get a cart and put so many things in the cart, maybe things worth over 100,000. Then you walk to the cashier, you just put the things on, and then you begin speaking in tongues. You just lambast. Then you expect the person to say, okay, you are fire filled. Oh yeah, just take it and be going. It's not possible. No matter how much you lambast, if you like, speak in tongues, let fire be dropping like this. He will only run. Ah. But if you go, come back with my money. He will never let you go. So it means different things have different keys. Like Paul will say that prosperity has its own key. So it's not by praying, oh God, I want money. You pray for money and you fail to tap into that key of prosperity, money will not come. So every door has its own key. Hallelujah. Then number five, when one door closes, another one opens. When one door closes, another one opens. But we often look so long and so regretfully at the closed door. When one door closes, another door opens. But we often look so long and so regretfully at the closed door that we don't see the one that's opened for us. So many times, once a door is closed, another one has opened up. But most times, we dwell on that one that's closed. Ah, this door has closed, though. Hey, this is my life we end. This door. And we fail to actually see the one that, the new one that God has opened for us. If Job had dwelt on his closed doors, when he was having issues, his business went down, children went down, he wouldn't have seen, but he believed that there would still be an open. That was why he kept on believing in God. Even when his friends came and said, ah, Job, renounce this God. His wife came, leave this God now, leave this God. But he never agreed. Why? He knew that one door was closed, but he knew there was another door that was opened. He just needed to persevere for some time and then get into that door. So when one door closes, and that door is often what? Is open. And that door opens up. Hallelujah. Then number six, facts about open door. Doors that God open will require you to depend on Him. Doors that God open will require you to depend on Him. He won't open doors that will make us believe we no longer need Him. In fact, this is the reason why some doors might not open for some people. Because God knows that, ah, if I open this door for this person, that's the end. Pride will set in, he will feel that, ah, I no longer need God again. No. Ah, why do I need God? I'm now like a God on my own self. I'm a God self on my own. Ah, what can't I do? I'm a God on my own too. So why do I need God? But that's not it. So God won't open the door, a door that will make us believe that we no longer need Him. If I read that, God doesn't want to be present in our lives only in times of emergency. So God doesn't want to be there only when there's a problem. Oh God, they are come to my life now. Then when everything is going smooth, you say, ah, God, go away. I'm okay. I don't need you. That's not what God wants. God wants to always be in our lives. And He wants us to constantly depend on Him 100%. So He doesn't want to only be present when we are facing challenges. He wants to be there all through. Everything, whether times are good in the other way, He wants to be there. And He wants us to depend on Him always. The Bible says that I can do all things through Christ. It didn't say I can do all things. It means it is through Christ that you'll be able to do all things. It means if you remove Christ, you won't be able to do all things. Because you won't get to that level. Because He knows if you take to that level, you will say, oh, I'm not a God. So it's until you believe, you have to believe that it is through Christ, then you'll be able to do all things. But if you don't believe it's through Christ, you won't be able to do all things at all. So God wants us to fully depend on Him. Hallelujah. Now we must realize that just because the name is Open Doors, doesn't mean that the access is automatic. You know, most times when I see open doors, this door is open, I can just enter. Like that. No. Open doors, not because they say it is open, doesn't mean the access is what? Automatic. So amongst other things, we have some keys that will grant us access to these open doors. So we'll be looking at some of the keys right now. And the first key that would grant us access to open doors is the key of faith. The key of faith. The key of faith. The key of faith. Now, faith is a major force and a major key in Christianity. In fact, Christianity wouldn't exist without faith. Because, yes, we are all Christians right here. We believe in God. But if we ask now, let's take a survey. We want to ask now, let's take a survey. How many of you have seen God face to face? You have seen God live. You were just in your room, then God just came and just sat down beside you. And you're talking to God life. You saw the way He looked like. We've not seen God. We don't know how He looks. Yet we believe that there's a God. How many of you have seen Jesus Christ before? You're not alive when He was on earth. Yet you believe that He came to earth. Why didn't you say that? Ah, it's like it's a lie. Jesus Christ did not come. No. You believe by faith. So Christianity itself is a religion of faith. So without faith, there won't be Christianity. So faith is a key that unlocks many doors that are connected to heaven. Mark 11 verse 23. Mark 11 verse 23. Mark chapter 11. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And just answered and said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. So Mark 11 verse 23. Mark 11 verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever it saith. So it means once you have faith, any door will be open unto you. So it's not a matter of the door. Once you have the faith, doors will be open unto you. Now, faith is not what you think. It is what you know. It is not what you think. Ah, it's like, I think I will be blessed. I think so. No, that's not faith. Faith is, I know I will be blessed. So faith is not a matter of, I think. No, it's, I know that I will be blessed. I know it. You don't think it, you know it. So that is faith. So once you know it, then that's a strong key that will help you to access what? Open doors. Also in Hebrews 11 verse 2. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 2. It says, for by faith, that's talking about faith, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. Or you can say, for by faith they were able to what? Access open doors. By faith the elders were able to access open doors. Hallelujah. And you know, most times, these are our fathers. Our fathers were able to access open doors by faith. You know, most times when you tell a child, you'll be like your father. And he says, God forbid. Check very well. The father is not doing well. If your father is doing well, so you'll be like, we say amen, and even more than him. That's what you will say. You won't say, God forbid. Because you can say, this man is doing well, amen, to be like him first, then surpass him. So if someone tells you, maybe be like your father, and you say, God forbid, check very well. That person's father is not doing well. So if our fathers, through faith, were able to access open doors, then won't we want to be like our fathers? And through faith also, access was open doors. So we have here examples of people who experienced open doors via faith. Examples of people who experienced open doors via faith. Number one is Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. Now, we know that story very well, that they waited for a child for so long. But there's one thing. The faith symptom was there. They believed God. Even when it seemed that it was not possible, they believed God. They said, it's possible. Let's still believe. Even though at a point they were almost doubting, and Sarah was giving another man, sleep with this woman. But still, they still believed God. It's like it's going to come. It's going to come. And they believed. And it came. You know, open doors is not only money. Open doors can be good health. It can be children. So in this case, they were looking for a child, and via open doors, they were able to get it because of their faith. Number two was Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas. You know, once they say Paul and Silas, the first thing that comes to our mind is that, these guys, they praised. They praised God, and God moved. They had faith. Because I don't know how many people would enter prison, and you are in a prison, you are not even composed, and you are praising God. It doesn't make sense. Because at that point, you are thinking of how you call. Maybe call your lawyer or call somebody that will come and bail you. Hello, barrister, this, that. They have a case against me. You have to come here now and do that and do that. That's the first, your first line of thought. But this guy, when he entered the prison, for them to have been prison means they were calm. Because they knew that, it should be just prison, just iron. What is iron to God? What is iron that God won't just bend once and it won't just break? So they had that. So when they were in the prison, they didn't have that fear. They were praising God. So it was because of the faith that they had opened doors, literally now, because the door actually opened for them. So it was because of their faith that they were able to access open doors. The story is in Acts, but then also the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood. Matthew 9 verse 20-23. Matthew 9 verse 22-23. Matthew chapter 9 verse 20. And straight away he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Verse 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them unto the chief priests? Verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Verse 23. And Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the ministers and people making noise. Verse 24. It's nothing and give place, for the maid is not dead but sleepeth. Okay, I think this was another story. But we are aware of the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She was carrying that sickness for many years. But Jesus Christ was preaching and he passed by, and because of her faith, she said, if only I can touch his garment. If only I can touch his garment. You know, that was faith. Most people will say, I must go to and meet Jesus Christ. I must kneel down. He must pray for me. He must speak, and he must touch. Yes, that's possible. But she even said, there's no need to save. Let me just walk, and just touch that garment. And as soon as she did that, her healing was found, came to her. And the door of her healing came towards her. Hallelujah. Now, faith should become part of us. Faith should be something that should be part of us, such that it becomes in our subconscious. So that we act in faith, even without thinking it. Because sometimes, when something is your subconscious, you do it. You've already done it. But you say, so I've done this thing. And that's very... So when faith dwells inside of us, we would have already done it. Say, I've already done it. Okay, thank God I've done it. You won't be thinking it with your critical brain and say, it's supposed to be like this. No. You think it. You just do it straight. Because when faith dwells in you, you won't bother to be thinking, is it supposed to be like this? You just do it. When some things dwell in you, you just say it out. You won't know that you have said it. It happened to me several times. I went to a shop one day and the shop was a kind of setting that someone should be eating there. And when I got there, I just met somebody eating. And in my mind, I was thinking, the person was eating rice. And they don't sell rice in that place. They sell provisions. But rice, they don't sell rice there. So as I got there, I met the person eating rice. I said, in my mind, I was thinking, why is this person eating rice in this kind of place? So that's what I was thinking at that time. Because they were answering some other people. So, suddenly, they just asked me, what do you want to buy? And because I was thinking of rice, I just said, I want to buy rice. I didn't know before it came out. It was later I said, sorry. It was this. So, at that time, it happened again. You know, I told us about this duplet here, dupe tie. So, the day I got it, I was thinking about it on the road. What does dupe tie mean? And it came to me that it was duplet here. So I was thinking in my mind, so it was duplet here. And I was on the road. I wanted to stop a cab. So I stopped the cab. I didn't know it just came out. Duplet here. And the cab stopped. It was wondering that. It doesn't know that place. Where is it? I know, I felt embarrassed, so I didn't bother to go. I just said, don't worry, you'll be going. Because I didn't want to explain to him that, sorry. So the point I'm trying to make is that I said it without thinking about it. Why? Because it was in my subconscious. It was there. I was just thinking, so that Jupiter, I meant Jupiter here. So it was Jupiter here. Imagine the cab stopped. The first thing that came out was Jupiter here. I didn't think about it. I just said Jupiter here. So when you have faith, when there are steps to take, you won't think about it. Because that faith, you just enter, bam. You might not say, I've done it. Thank God. So that's what the faith should dwell in you, so that you don't think about it. Just do it without thinking. Just do it. That was one like Abraham. God said, leave. He didn't think about it. Just, I'm going. So that's the kind of faith that we should have. Hallelujah. Now, number two. Remember the first key was key of faith. Now, the second key is key of kingdom stewardship. Key of kingdom stewardship. Now, when you are a steward in God's house, God pays you. And one of those payments is open doors. He pays you with open doors. Open doors in so many areas of your life. We can go to Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Also in Daniel, but we can read that one first. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to church to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Also, you can check Daniel 12, verse 3. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Daniel. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. When you are a star, it means so many things are open unto you. Via what? Via kingdom stewardship. Also, we're going to read one more verse there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. So once you believe that God always pays, I know God will not owe you. So your labor in God's house is not in vain. He will bless us if, as much as we work in his house, God is going to pay us. And one of those payments is open doors. Hallelujah. Then the third key number three, is word practice. Key number three is word practice. That is practicing the word. Practicing the word. Now, word practice is synonymous with obedience to the word. Word practice is known with obedience to the word. There are many blessings and open doors embedded in the word of God. As we can see that in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 13. We won't be able to read through everything, but we can. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Let's just go to verse 2. And all these blessings shall come unto thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Then from verse 3, you start seeing so many blessings. From 3, blessings shall be in the city. And so many blessings there. Or you can see so many open doors. But there was something you had to do first. Obey. Obedience. Once you obey, many doors will be opened unto you. So obedience is a very key. It's a very key to open doors. Word practice, obedience. Now, word practice involves acting the word. Word practice means you read the word, you act it. As Christians, we are meant to act the word. Because, you know, Christians were called Christians. Why? Because they saw something in them. They were acting like Jesus Christ. So they called them Christians. So as Christians, we are meant to act the word. Wherever we find ourselves, we should remember, I'm a Christian. No. I need to act like a Christian. I know it will help you when that thought is in your mind. You know, when I was in secondary school, there was one particular question they gave us then in GS 3. I think it was ushering also, I can't remember. So when they gave me that position, there's something that I couldn't do again. Because once you want to act, don't say, you know you're an usher. I'll just tell her, it's true, I'm an usher. I can't do this. So once you are a Christian, you need to act on the word. What the word does is then you need to what? You need to act in the word. Act on it. You know, my friend was telling me a story that there were some neighbors that they had. And knowing their mind, that these neighbors were very good Christians, you know. But they don't really discuss, they don't really talk. But in their mind, at least they are good Christians. We see them going to church, but we don't really talk. So this, my friend, has a dog. And he named the dog Jojo also. I can't remember. Jojo. So they didn't know that name, Jojo, was the name of their neighbor's wife's husband. They never knew. So they were calling her Jojo, Jojo. So the neighbor got to know about it. And you know, instead of coming peacefully, please, oh, this your dog is my husband's name. They said, okay, don't worry, we'll do our own too. They too, they have a dog. But those, my friend, they have an uncle. They call him Obim. It's an Igbo name, Obim. So they said, okay, we'll name our dog Obim too. I know when I heard the story, I was like, who names a dog Obim? I know, but the point I'm trying to bring out is that, you know, it made those people feel somehow about those people. Say, these people that we thought were Christians, they started calling you Obim. I know, they intentionally now brought to the front of the house. They say, Obim, Obim, let's go. That's not the way a Christian should behave. So it means that initially, if those people want to preach to them, do you think they will agree? They say, you that is calling your dog Obim, uncle's name, because, and they never knew that that name was the husband's name. You know, you'll be able to preach gospel to that kind of person because you have done, that's not the way a Christian ought to behave. So as Christians, we should act on the word. There's one normal in WWJD, what would you just do? We just try to do that. That's the way we should think. We just Christ not say, because you name this person, the meter, I'll name this one too. So it's do me, I do you like that. And nothing spoil. No. Just Christ wouldn't die. You come peacefully and say, I love this dog. His name is wow. That's a very nice name, oh. And that's even the name of my husband, to show you know. You know, if we say it jokingly and say, oh, we didn't ever knew. Ah, no, it's no problem. By the time the gospel will think about it, ah, name of husband, let's change it. You know, there won't be any issue. But you doing that, you know, it's going. So as Christians, we should make sure we act on the word. Do what? No, number two is declare the word. We are looking at what word practice involves. Word practice involves acting the word. It also involves declaring the word. Papa will say a short mouth is a short destiny. But we rephrase a short mouth is a short open doors. Also a short door. Because the door won't be open. Once your mouth is short, destiny is short, door is short, everything is short. You cannot enter new blessings. You cannot live where you are. So it means we cannot afford to keep our mouth short. The word is there for us to declare it, to speak it, to say it. So we can't just be using the word and say, I know the word, but you don't declare it. You have to declare it. You have to practice it. You have to act it. Then number three, you have to keep the word. You have to keep the word. You have to keep the word. Revelations 3 verse 8. You have to keep the word. Revelations chapter 3 verse 8. You have to keep the word. Revelations chapter 3 verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set thee before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name, and hast kept my word, and hast kept my word. So you can see, the door did not shut, the door is open. Why? Because you have kept his word. You have kept the word in your heart. So the word has to be in your heart. You know, the one time Papa preached a message, I know he said, when the enemy comes, it is not the words that you read now that we used to attack. You say, ah, devil, you are here. Ah, let me check. What's that Bible verse again that they said, oh, let me attack the devil. No. It is the words you have in your heart that you speak out. And once it's not there, you can't know it. Once it's not there, you cannot know it. You know, somebody was telling me something that anything that he doesn't know, Holy Spirit does remember him. And I said, it's a lie. How can he remember you what is not there? It's like me now. I'm not an accountant now. And I say, yes, I want to go and write. What's that accountant? There's one accountant. What they call it? I can. I just enter the exam more. Hello, I'm a Christian. I have faith. I've never done accounting before. I can speak in tongues. I don't know how accounting is. And let me shock you, I don't even like accounting. But I'll pass the exam. I just sit down here, give me paper. Give me the question. And I say, oh yeah, Holy Spirit, remind me what this question is. It will be unlikely to happen. Why? Because it is not there. It is things that in your subconscious you have forgotten. Holy Spirit brings them up and say, oh yes, I've read this before. Then it comes up at that time that you need it. Not that you didn't even read it at all. You just put it beside your bed. You say, Holy Spirit, remind me. The devil is here. I want to attack him. Holy Spirit, remind me. Any verse at all that I don't know, I've never read. Just remind me. It's not possible. You must have read it. You must have kept it in your heart. So that when the time comes, you'll be able to pour it out. So don't say that, Holy Spirit, remind me. I don't need to read the Bible. It's a lie. Read it. Have it in your heart. And sometimes you forget, but the Holy Spirit brings it back to your remembrance. And say, then you begin to speak. So it means there must be a reading first. There must be a scene. You have seen it. You have read it. Before you can now say, okay, you forgot. And you are now trying to remember. Hallelujah. So we have seen ways by which we can practice the word. We can practice the word by acting it. We can practice the word by declaring the word. And also, we can practice the word by keeping it in our hearts. Hallelujah. Now, in conclusion, keys are not given to strangers. Keys are not given to strangers. I don't know how many of us here, the key to your house. You just see someone passing on the road, sorry, just say, hello, please, this is the key to my house, just take it. It's not possible. Well, it will be possible anyway if all that is in your house is nothing. Maybe your house is empty. Just open your door, just see empty room. It's not even painted, nothing, no chair, nothing. Hey, you can give somebody your key. You know, you won't be afraid that because there's nothing to take there. So you can't be afraid. Anybody can take your key and say, let's go. So when you have something important in your room, you won't give somebody your key anyhow. You won't. You know me, I have a philosophy. If I'm walking and I'm carrying a bag and there's a laptop, I'm more careful. I'm always looking left and right. Let me walk. But if I'm just walking on my own, I say nothing they happen. I'm just walking. Because I know nothing they can take from me. So I'm not even bothered. Why? Because I have nothing on me. So once there's something in your room, you're very, very conscious of your key. You don't give anybody your key. Even sometimes you might not give your friend. If you say, this is my friend, I take, you won't give him. So it means once there's something important in your room, you don't give strangers your key. So I wrote that keys are meant for bona fide children. That's bona fide. But I think they're like bona fide children. So you must be a bona fide child before I can give you. Like now, if let me use Pastor Moshe for instance, he won't have a problem giving his car key to David. Say, David, his son, take my car key, go and get onto my car. He won't have any problem with that. But he will have a problem with somebody just walking in from the gate and just coming and just walk to him and say, "Hello, sir, can I get your key?" You know, he will first think about, he won't do it. Let's just cut long story short, he will not do it. Or maybe he might do it, I don't know, but let me not speak for him. Okay, he said he won't do it. Now, the reason why I won't do it is because he doesn't know the person. He doesn't know the person. And he probably, the car is a valuable asset. He probably has some valuable things in the car. So he would not want to give somebody that he doesn't know his car key. So the person will go there and access things that are not meant for him. But if it's his child, he'll give the person the key. Because that person is his child. That's where this realm is. God, there are so many keys God wants to give us. But these keys are meant for his children. Are not meant for strangers. You might say, "I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't do that, I don't do that." But being good is not good enough. Being good is not good enough. Just being good is not going to guarantee you to go to heaven and say, "I'm good. I don't do this. I don't do that." No. You have to give your life to Christ. So you must sign up. I want to sign up. It's like saying you enter a place. They say, "Everybody, we are having a seminar. Come and sign up for the seminar so that you can enter." And I say, "Yeah, there's no need. I'm already a good person. I'm already a good person. So I think you will let me enter." Then I get to the gate and say, "Oh yeah, me, I'm a good person. Although I didn't sign up, but I want to enter." They won't let you in because they are following the list. Your name is not on the list, so you cannot enter. And that's the way it is also. So you can't say, "I'm a good person, but I'm not giving my life to Christ." No. You have to give your life to Christ. That's like signing up. You sign up. Until you sign up, bam, then you have access. Sign up, bam, and there's access to the open doors. So I want to tell us tonight that as you are here seated, that it takes being a born again to be able to access these keys. It takes being a bona fide child of God to be able to access these keys. Like we have all agreed, you won't give your keys to strangers. Why do you think God will not give his own key to strangers? Why do you think so? He won't. He will give his keys to his children, just like he will give keys to people that you know. He will give his keys to our children because his riches are meant for his children. So, I want us to bow down our hearts today and just pray to God that in any way that we might have come short of his glory, in any way that we might have missed it, that God should have mercy on us. That God should have mercy on us. Because if we do not clear this, then we will not be able to have access to open doors. That God should have mercy on us. In any way we might have missed it, that God show us your mercy. God show us your mercy. Father Lord, have mercy on us. Father Lord, have mercy on us. Show us your mercy, O Lord. Father Lord, we want to sign up with you today, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Please, we can rise to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's begin to thank God for the word we've heard tonight. Let's give him all the glory. Let us thank you for the word we've heard. Let's thank him. Father Lord, thank you for your word that you sent to us tonight. Say that we exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father Lord, return all the glory back to you for your word. We say that we exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father Lord, we thank you for your word that you sent to us, oh Lord. We return all the glory back to you, Lord. We say that we exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. We're going to pray in a few prayer points tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to say, "Oh Lord, remember me for good. And open the book of remembrance for me." Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, remember me for good, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Father Lord, remember me for good in the name of Jesus. Oh Father Lord, remember me for good, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, open the book of remembrance for me, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Father Lord, open the book of remembrance for me, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Father Lord, open the book of remembrance for me, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, remember me for good, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, remember me for good, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, remember me for good, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, let the book of remembrance be opened unto me, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, let the book of remembrance be opened unto me, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, open the book of remembrance unto me, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. We are going to say, "Oh Lord, let all my helpers begin to remember me for good. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, let all my helpers begin to remember me for good, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, let all my helpers begin to remember me for good, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Father, Lord, let all my helpers begin to remember me for good, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, let all my helpers begin to remember me for good, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. We are going to say, I cancel and scatter every demonic activities in my life. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I cancel and scatter every demonic activity in my life, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I cancel and I scatter every demonic activity in my life, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. I destroy them by fire in the name of Jesus. Every demonic activity in my life is hereby destroyed and canceled in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. We are going to say, I close every door. Which devil enters through to afflict me? Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I close every door with which the devil enters through to afflict me, O Lord, tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I close every door, Lord, that the devil enters through to afflict me in the name of Jesus. I close every door of affliction tonight in the name of Jesus. I close every door of affliction tonight in the name of Jesus. I close every door of affliction tonight in the name of Jesus. Every door the devil has begun to afflict me tonight, I declare them shut in the name of Jesus. Every door the devil has begun to afflict me in one way or the other, I declare them shut tonight in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. We are going to say, I break out and deliver myself from every evil prison. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I break out and deliver myself from every evil prison, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. I break out and deliver myself from every evil captivity in the name of Jesus. From every evil prison, I break out. From every evil captivity, I break out. From every evil chain, I break out in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, Lord, I break out tonight from every evil captivity, from every evil prison, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. We are going to say, I cast down every roadblock hiding my progress. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I cast down every roadblock hiding my progress in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, every roadblock, oh Lord, I pull them down right now in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, every roadblock, I pull them down right now in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, every roadblock, I pull them down right now in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, every roadblock, I pull them down right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. We're going to say, I release myself from every grip of any problem transferred to my life from the womb. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I release myself from every grip of any problem that has been transferred to my life from the womb. I declare them to cease right now in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I release myself from every grip, oh Lord, of problems from the womb, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. We are going to say, I break and loose myself from every inherited evil curse. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I break and loose myself from every inherited curse, O Lord. From every curse that has been inherited, O Lord, I break myself loose from them, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, I break and loose myself, O Lord, from every inherited curse. In the name of Jesus, I break and loose myself from every inherited curse, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, I break and loose myself from every inherited curse. In the name of Jesus, I break and loose myself from every inherited curse. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Finally, we're going to pray that say, Father, I break myself from every inherited family pattern. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I break myself from every family pattern, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I break myself from every family pattern, O Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road in Lorraine. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.